When you are full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's
right. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God is enough. I don't care what your issue is, your concerns are, your situation may be. when it really just resonates in your soul that God is enough, stress gonna go right out the window. I mean, anxiety is gonna go right out the window. When you know that God is enough and God is on your side, you know why the devil don't want you to focus on God? Because if you focus on God, you can't focus on him. And if you focus on your source, then you're gonna stop worrying about your situation. If you focus on your source, you're not gonna worry about your supply because he is going to handle all of that. So when you realize again afresh, maybe you've already known that, no doubt, but sometimes we get so caught up in things that we forget God is. Remind your neighbor again, say neighbor. And if you're not sitting by nobody, say self. Now some of y'all sitting by somebody. I say if you're sitting by yourself, God is enough. Amen. Well, I want to go on to the study because I want you to see again what you already know, but it just helps to be reminded. How many of you like to be reminded of some good things? Amen. Well, this is the best thing we could be reminded of tonight. And I want to take you to Psalm 62, and I want to begin at verse 5. Psalm 62, and I want to commence reading at verse 5. Recorded of these words, my soul, that's the spiritual and immortal part of man. It's that part that lives beyond the flesh, lives beyond the body. It's here and will be in the hereafter, the soul. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Now listen at this, because I want you to see some things that the psalmist is speaking about. The first thing that he's dealing with is the total sufficiency of God. The total sufficiency of God. When you really, again, lock hold of the revelation that God is totally sufficient in every area, in every avenue, in every arena, there is no lack, no slack in God. God is infinite in his wisdom, his power, his that he is totally sufficient in every phase of life. Now, when you understand that God is totally sufficient in every area of life, then your expectation rightly should come from him. One of the easiest ways to become disappointed, become disillusioned, to become dissatisfied, to become disharmonized and disjunction and become dysfunctional is to put your trust in man. Listen at this, because I want you to understand something. Man will let you down, not because he wants to, but because he is unable to do even many times what he promised to. He is a finite being. He is not infinite. He is not all powerful. He is not all knowing. He is not all present. So therefore, he says things that he many times can't see far enough in the future to see intervening situations and circumstances that could prevent him from fulfilling a promise he's made, or might strip him of his strength or his focus or his presence or his resources. And as a result of that, if your expectation is from him, you will be sorely disappointed, not because he wants to, but because he's unable to fulfill them. But God, being totally sufficient in every area, because he's not a man that he should lie, because his resources are infinite, he is always able to back up what he said. Now look at what the psalmist says. He says, my soul, again, that spiritual part of me, that immortal part of me, that part that never dies. He says, wait thou only upon God. Now, obviously, the psalmist has had some situations where he has waited on other folk and they let him down. He's waited on some other folk and they didn't show up.
He ain't worried about God not showing up. He's not worried about God not doing what he said he's going to do, because God keeps all of his appointments. God keeps all of the promises he makes. And so notice his soul is focused on God alone. Now notice he says something else that I think, again, is so important for us to grab. He says, "For my expectation is from him." Now, how many of us, listen to this, have asked God for something, but have expected it from man? God, I want you to do such and such a thing. But then you look to some person to be the reality of what it is you plan to receive. Now listen to this. Don't you know that the God who created this universe, created everything in this universe, this all that we see, know, and even that we don't see and don't know all belongs to him? Don't you know if he promised he'll do something, he is capable and able of getting to you what he promised without you having to pick the source or the tunnel or the channel or the reservoir through which you think it ought to come through? See, many of us miss our blessing because when we ask God and I'm looking for this person to get it to me, then I am closing down all of the resources God has to work with, thinking that it's going to come right through this channel. And so I could have my blessing right here on either side of me, in front of me, and even behind me, but because I have focused my expectation to come from a certain source, I have missed many times or tied God's hands where he doesn't bring. See, you might say this is where you want it from, but God might say, I've got much bigger and better for you. You know, I mean, you might be expecting, you know, one little package, and God might have a whole truckload. We limit God when the reality is if we ask from him, we ought to expect from him. Who he chooses to materialize it and manifest it through is his business. How many times have you asked God for something and somebody you didn't even know or even expect, God touched, used them, and blessed you without you ever even thinking it would come that way? Let me ask you a question. I just want to throw this out parenthetically. What difference does it make if you say, God, I need $50 to pay my light bill? Don't you wish you had a $50 light bill? Yeah. And God says, okay, I'm going to do that. Well, now, God, I need it by Friday, because Friday is the cutoff date. Now, if God says I'm going to do it, what difference does it make if God does not give you the $50, but won't let them cut off your lights until you get paid? Did he still not meet your need? Don't lock him into the one way of operating the way you think he ought to operate, because he's got too much to work with. Sometimes God wants to show you he's not limited to your finite thinking. He's got so many ways to operate if we would let our expectation be from him, if we would allow him to function and flow the way he desires in our lives. We open ourselves up to, I mean, endless possibilities of God ministering to us on multiple levels, and we receive the blessing that God has for us, not that we've dictated for ourselves. Look again at the next verse. It says, he only, look at how he keeps singling out God and making it clear that's where his hope and everything is. My rock and my salvation, he is my defense. Well, not only are we talking about the total sufficiency of God, but we're also dealing with, oh, and this thing done messed up here, y'all. Oh, that devil is a liar. That ain't how that's supposed to go. All right. Now, listen at this, because what I want you to understand, I'm put them all on. There you go. Dealing with the total strength of God. Now, I don't know. Somebody might know about PowerPoint. How did I get the next screen on this one here? The devil been messing with this all the day, trying to keep me from teaching God is enough. But guess what? We made it through 12, and we're going to make it through 6:30 tonight with this word. God has all of the strength we'll ever need for every situation, because look at what the psalmist says again. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now that, listen, my brothers and sisters, when you understand who God is, and when he begins what he's saying about God, his comfort, his strength, and which we're going to deal in the next verse with that in a more detailed way, he's making clear that when you understand what God has to work with, it echoes in one regard what Romans 8:31 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Because if he is your rock, listen at what he says. Everything he speaks of, he's not speaking of himself, he's talking about God. He said, he only is my rock and my salvation. We're going to deal with salvation again, but this word salvation means deliverance not only of the soul, but of the body. In other words, it deals with the total salvation or deliverance of a person. You don't need just your soul saved and your body still in captivity or bondage. God delivers you in totality. What is important about understanding this is everything that he's talking about God is so that I might have the understanding that God is able to deliver me out of any and every situation the enemy tries to bind me in. All of my fights are not physical fights. All of my struggles are not spiritual struggles. I need to understand that there is a balance with God, so no matter where the enemy attacks or where he chooses to start war, the God I serve is my defense against the best of the enemy's weapons. As a result of that, look at the end result of what he says at the end of that verse. What does he say? Now listen at this. I ain't fighting the war, and the battle isn't mine, but the devil don't want me here, and he can't do nothing about it because of who is fighting my battle for me. Now, you know the devil gets mad with that because he looks at me and says, I can beat him, but what he doesn't realize is what I'm fighting with, he cannot beat, and that's when God steps in, and he always, listen, you know one of the things that I love about the Lord is the Lord lets the devil think that he got something. He lets the, you know, when you're going through some stuff, and this is why you need to know who you are and whose you are. When you're going through some stuff, the devil thinks that, I mean, because he might knock you down. And God is so wonderful sometimes. You know, his timing is just impeccable. But sometimes I wish he'd show up a little sooner. I'm just speaking for me now. Sometimes he literally let the devil knock me down. Be on count 8, count 9, and before the referee could hit 10, he stops his hand and say, I got this thing. And he switched places, not, listen at this now, not with me, but with the devil, and say, get on up from here now. And then he moves me out the way and say, now what you gonna do again, devil? Y'all not hearing this, you're not getting this. He lets the devil think he ain't gonna show up, but when he shows up, y'all know what he does. Now look, that's why he says, I shall not be moved. Now, I mean, that's some tall, strong talking about the confidence he has in God. I want you to understand something else. He's talking about the total solace of God. The solace. That's the peace and comfort he has in knowing God is faithful and God is going to do what he promised he's going to do. Also, again, he's dealing with the total salvation of God, because look again at what the text says. Verse 7 says, in God is my salvation and my glory. Listen to what he says, the rock of my strength. Then he says, and my refuge is in God. In other words, the place I run to is God. God is my hiding place. But listen at this, because he's my refuge, then it is his responsibility to take care of me as long as I'm in him. See, you go into a refuge, and inside of the refuge, that place of protection, you become a refugee. It is the responsibility of every refuge to protect the refugees. It is their problem with those who are outside those walls. They take care of, minister, meet the needs of, handle, deal with those who are on the inside. When I run into God, when I am in the place God wants me to be, in fellowship with him, in relationship with him, the devil can't bother me in God. Do you know the only time the devil has any chance at getting at me? When I walk outside of God. When I walk out of his will, when I walk out of his way, when I walk out of his word, the devil has a chance. And I say a chance because the moment, like the prodigal son, I realize I'm out of the will of God, I'm out of the way, I can come to myself and recognize this is not my place. This is not my place. And get myself back into my place. Listen at this well now. Because all of us, I don't care who you are, how long you've been on the journey, at some point in some time in your Christian journey, you're going to get out your place. Ain't no sense in sitting here acting like it ain't going to ever happen to you. Because if it hadn't happened already, keep on living, it is going to happen. Listen, there are biblical characters from some of the supremest down to those who we even rarely know their name that it happened to, and they are examples, which says, don't care how high you are or how low you are, it's going to happen to you. But here is, that's not the bad part. The bad part is it happening to you and you not knowing how to correct it. To correct it, you get back in the place where God has you. And the place that God has for you. I want you to turn, if you will, and look at Psalm 27 and 10. All right, Psalm 27 and 10. I want you to see this. It's a familiar psalm, and especially as it starts this psalm off, many of us know it. It's a beloved psalm. The Lord is my light, verse 1, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, again, we're talking about God is enough. God is enough. But I want you to go down to verse 10. Now look at what it says here. Because it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When my father and my mother, the two closest persons biologically to us, when they forsake us, the word says then. Now you know what is the reality? One, that family ties are sometimes inadequate. As close as some families desire to be, they are inadequate to meet your needs, to stand in that time of your need. Many times they are inadequate to deal with your problems, your pressures, and or your pains. Sometimes we've gone and turned to family folk in our moments of distress only to be distressed more by the fact that our family was inadequate to handle, deal with, or support us during our struggle. Anybody ever been there? Didn't mean they didn't want to, just didn't have the ability to. Sometimes family members fall out. Now the one that was in the first screen, it says this, and I'm gonna quote that one. It says, family members many times are weak. Sometimes you, depending on where you are spiritually, are stronger than your mother and father in spiritual matters. Some of them might not even be saved, might not even be in the body of Christ. And so sometimes they are weak and cannot stand in the things of God with you, can't stand for you. And so as a result of that, they are unable to be there as a family unit to help you in your struggle. Now listen again, because I want you to know, on top of that, the reality is some family folks fall out. Father gets mad with the sons, mothers get mad with the daughters. Tell them, listen, you know, if you think you a woman, a man here, listen, ain't but one man and woman, you get the door, hit the, gone. Get. And I mean, you know, some of you get in a situation where you don't speak because you fall out to your own mother, to your own father for days, weeks, months, years. Years. Because families fall out. That's a reality. Well, you ain't calling them, and they ain't calling you. Now, I know you might not think that's happening, and that's a reality, but it is so. And sisters, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood, fall out over foolishness. And can see another one hurting and won't even come to their rescue. It happens. But the reality is, and I want you to know that God is there when the closest earthly folk aren't. God is enough. The psalmist was saying, when my father and my mother forsake me, then. Now notice there are two words that you need to know, again, that's important. He says, when and then. when, and then. Because listen at this. Even some folk get mad when their parents have nothing to do with their circumstance. I mean, you know, some of them wanted them to be there at a certain time in their lives, and for whatever reason, they couldn't be there for them. Couldn't make a special day or a special moment for them. And so they get mad and they fall out with them, or this happens and that happens. But it happens even if it's not but a fragment of time. There is a falling out, so much so that there is a forsaking, a turning away from, a putting down. And that happens. But God, listen at this, even though my father can forsake me, my mother can forsake me, my God cannot. He declared through his own word, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's what he said with his own word. My father, my mother could say it and still not own up to it or handle it or bring the fruition of that same promise they've made, but my God can. I want you to know something else. God does what no other can or will do. He will do what mom and daddy can't do. He'll do what they won't do because of who he is. Now, when I understand that again, and this is for us to put all of this in perspective, I'm to honor my father and my mother, but they do not rank higher than God. Y'all missing me here. I love my mother and father with all my heart, but they cannot supersede God. Because when they, and it's going to happen surely in this life, even if it's not but a fragment of time, they are going to forsake me, not be there for me, not fulfill a promise that was made, not be able to help me in my time. It's going to be a time of forsaking. When that happens, then the Lord will step in their place and do what they could not or would not do. How many times has God stepped in the place, I mean a precious place like that, and fulfilled the promise that they could not fulfill? Now listen at this. God receives you when others release you. Now again, if that happens with the most important biological folk in your life, what does that say about other folk in your life? If my father and my mother can forsake me, what about my brother and my sister? What about my so-called friends? What about all of these other things? See, the bottom line is God is faithful. And God is enough. And see, there are some of us many times in different families, depending on your background, depending on the way that you were raised with your religious training, if you made a step for Christ, and certain families, if you leave outside of denominations, they'll say, well, you know what? We have no more dealing. I've seen some denominations literally disconnect their children because they left different denominations. Wouldn't come, wouldn't participate. You know, you got a sick religion, a messed up religion that will not allow you to share and love your children and love what God has given to you regardless of their shortcomings. When you look at the issue of the prodigal son and look at the kind of love that that father had for that son, which is to give an image of the love that God has for us, which is an everlasting love, a tender loving kindness. I mean, when you look at all of that, you've got issues when you can't love what God has given you to love in spite of the mistakes, the shortcomings, and the shortfalls. And yet there are families who are like that, but not our God. When they release us, God receives us. And God is simply making clear, the psalmist is making clear, that God is faithful and God will be there when everybody and everything else fails you. Look at this again. Turn to Psalm 46 and 10. I want you to see this again because God's purpose for you understanding who he is to understand who you are in him. Psalm 46 and 10 simply says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among who? The heathen. I will be exalted where? All right, let's look at what the psalmist was saying. First thing he was saying to us that God says is rest in the relationship with God. Rest in the, be still. Rest. Now listen at this. You can't rest until you are in right relationship with God. Now, if you are in right relationship with God, recognize that you no longer have to do for you what God does for you. You rest in